And good morning and welcome to LaPorte Church of Christ. It is October 19th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. I hope you enjoyed that timeless pulpit truth message. It wasn't a pulpit truth message. It was a truth for the times message with Pastor Peters. None ever call it conspiracy. And like you said, I got the book right here. This is a pamphlet, and Pastor Peters offered it for free of charge, and we are offering it free of charge. If you write to us within the next 2 weeks and request None Ever Call It Conspiracy, we will send that to you free of charge. Also, if you would like that Truth for the Times on a DVD or on a CD, request that. That's our gift to you, and we would like to pass that on to you. So just write, request it, either the Truth for the Times, the DVD, or the booklet, None Ever Call It Conspiracy. I really enjoyed that message, and I hope you did as well. It was a little bit different, but I've had several people that have asked me, you know, what are the Truth for the Times messages? And I was thinking about it just, you know, I remember when Pastor Peters was recording those and going, traveling from the Radio Ranch down to Denver to record those in the studio, and didn't do them for a whole long time. They cost a lot of money to produce, and airtime was really expensive. But I thought, I was thinking just before we came on, that if I could have told Pastor Peters that in 30 years, everybody will have one of these in their pocket, and I'll be able to broadcast that and stream it and get it to everybody, you know, in the country and all across the world, he would have thought I was crazy. And you know, that's what we're able to do through technology nowadays. And I think it's exciting because I think that these messages are meant for today. And truth never expires. And I was thinking about the Truth for the Times 30 years ago and how it's not outdated. And the truth that was in that is just as much valuable today as it was, you know, 30 years ago when it was originally put out. And I think that there's actually going to be more people than ever seeing these broadcasts than there ever was even 30 years ago. Anyway, before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. Lord, we ask that you be with these messages and wherever they may go. And we pray, Father, that you continue to just bring these messages to light. I pray, Father, that they just cut a wide swath, Lord. I pray, Father, that you use these messages to continue to open the eyes of your people and draw them closer to you and draw them to that watery grave of baptism, Father. We just pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we're going to start off with a song this morning. The boys helped me pick out some songs, and I think the first one we got is Lily of the Valley.
I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's all my griefs that's taken and all my sorrows born. In temptation he's my strong and town. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsakes me, and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the shore. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall. I'll build. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Good job. And next, we're going to have a song, Hosanna in the Highest. Coming up right about now. Justice. He's got his little brother back there helping him too. Jace is helping him, and he's trying to learn how to do that as well. So we've got a message from Zach that we recorded yesterday, and we prayed before we recorded this message, and just prayed that you know, that the Lord would use this message and that the Lord would lead, guide, and direct Brother Zach. And It's a good message, and I hope you'll enjoy it. And we'll be back right after this with communion coming up right about now.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, October 19th, 2025, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning and begin by reading and defining who and what Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came, He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh. Last week, we ended at the end of chapter 10 in Acts, and this week we will be beginning in chapter 11. And as a way of review, we were talking about the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, and the 10 northern tribes being uncircumcised because of the captivity that God threw them back into in the Old Testament. And we read in Genesis 17 that those that were not circumcised, that they were to be cut off. And that this was the position that many people took after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, that these people were non-circumcised, therefore they were to be cut off, and how it was a rule in the circumcision covenant. And God said to Peter, anything that I've made clean, don't you tell them that they're unclean. So basically what it was God's way of showing Peter that the marital law had been fulfilled and the 10 northern tribes were released from that bondage, because there was a death of a husband, which released the wife. Also, we read in chapter 17 that those that were bought of Abraham's money or a foreigner, that they were to also be circumcised, because there was not going to be anything unclean in the house of the Lord as he began to build it back in that day. And there are also rules and regulations about non-Israelites being in the assembly, which we have gone through that before in the past. So what we see was the church fathers were having confusion in the birth of the church, and God was basically leading the way on how he wanted his church built and to reintroduce the 10 northern tribes. Because as you know, if you know any history, biblical history, only a small section of the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin was allowed back into the land of Judea to rebuild the temple back in the days of Nehemiah. So when you read the word Jew, and if they do fall under that Abrahamic covenant, it is literally only a small percentage of Israelite from the 12 fathers of Israel that could actually be in the land of Judea at that time of Christ and at the time of the birth of the church. And the rest of them were scattered abroad. You could only be from the tribe of Benjamin or the tribe of Judah and be called a Jew at that time and be an Israelite. Now, you could be called a Jew because you were born in that area, and not be an Israelite, according to the flesh covenant that God gave to Abraham, and still be called a Jew. They, modern Christianity, modern Judeo-Christianity, has confused that word so much, you literally have to almost be a scholar to understand, and the way that it is used in text in the Old Testament, because in my point of view, it has three different definitions. It has an Israelite that could be from the tribe of Benjamin or the tribe of Judah, which Paul claims, or Paul says he's from the tribe of Benjamin, which makes sense for why he would be called a Jew. Or you could be somebody that is simply born in that region at that time. You could be called a Jew. Or you can be one of those stinking Jews that are Pharisees that are of the Edomite blending of the laws of God in the Babylonian system. That's in my mind. And so really, when you read in the New Testament, you have to know how it's used in context. It's like the word two in the English language. It can mean one, two. It can mean like too much, like T-O-O, or it could just be let's go to T-O. I mean, it all depends on the context. And if you you can't just have one, that word Jew cannot have one definition as it is displayed in the Judeo-Christianity theology world today that everybody bows down to and wants to get in a snuggle fest with these guys. Now, today, when you say, like, if you just, a Jew today, in today's culture, time, I would assume you're not a very good cat. And I really don't want nothing to do with you. But, because we've seen the way that it was, that we've seen the way, just last week, the way the uncircumcised and the circumcised, like they were questioning, you know, what's going on here? And God was literally setting them straight. With that being said, I'm going to start in chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence. I'm going to stop right there. So those that were circumcised, they had issue with what Peter did because they were saying, you went to an uncircumcised man, they are supposed to be cut off. They are cut off. That's what Genesis 17 says. That is why they had the issue. They're not wrong for taking that point of view, but they're also not right for not recognizing the power of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They're not recognizing the fact that the 10 northern tribes, which would be the uncircumcised because of all those customs, were literally released so that way they could be joined to another, hopefully him. And they were having a brain malfunction. See, when I see something like this, you can see man's shortcoming, an inability to have his head wrapped around the entire situation. This is why you always hear me preaching on you guys. Always step back. Always listen. Always think you might be wrong. Always have the possibility you might be wrong. Always think that you might not have your head wrapped around the entire situation. Always question yourself. Always leave yourself an out. And these guys were, you know, they weren't validating what had taken place at Calvary. Verse 5. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object come down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky, and it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it, and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and wild beasts and the crawling creatures and birds of the air. I also heard a voice speaking to me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "By no means, Lord. Nothing unholy has or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice from heaven answered a second time, "What God has cleansed no longer is considered unholy." This happened three times. Everything was drawn back up into the sky, and behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgiving. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us that he had seen the angel standing in the house, saying, "Send to Joppa, have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he will speak the words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Therefore, if God gave to them the gift as he gave to us also, after believing in the word of Christ, who is I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God. Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. Okay. So, what Peter was saying was, he recanted the vision that he had. He said, "Who am I to stand in the way?" He had to give them the lowdown, give them an oral history report. And when they heard Peter's testimony on the topic, they shut their mouth. They said, "Very well. I mean, how can you argue with that?" So, what is the lesson that we can learn there from that little story? No matter how much you think you know, you always can learn, and you know that you just don't know everything. And they were corrected on the issue. And that's the key, is you have to always be able to be corrected. Always take correction. God loves disciplined people. God loves his people to be disciplined. What I mean by discipline, like, take responsibility for your action. Take responsibility. Admit when you were wrong. Admit when you weren't looking through the proper lens on any topic. Now, I'm not giving any less value, because what Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's confirming it. The house of Israel at this time had formed a multitude of nations, just as was promised in Genesis 17. And Jesus was coming back for them. Now, are there other ones that are benefited, that benefit from Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and buying back the 10 northern tribes? Absolutely. God's politics plan gets to be spread all across the earth. It's supposed to, as what it says in Genesis 12, bless all nations in the earth. Talking with my dad yesterday morning, and he goes out to Pennsylvania every year with a group of guys. I don't know how to explain it. So where I'm from, there's the families around here, like, and I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this. Like my grandfather was a transplant into my area, well, about 100 years ago. He'd be 100 now. He'd be in his 100s now. And there are four generations of people that I knew and know currently to where these families all gather, or they all know each other, and they all have a good relationship with each other. And with this group of guys that my dad goes with, they're all combat veterans. So that's the one thing they got in common. They're all Vietnam veterans. One guy was a medical rescue guy in Vietnam. He'd go and rescue down pilots. The other guy, great guy. I've known him my whole life. He was a door gunner out of a Huey. My dad was a LERP in Vietnam, and the other guy was just a, I wouldn't say, he wasn't just a, he was a grunt in I Corps. He was in the Marines. But these group of guys, they're all related. They're what we call them, the right gang. You know, there's like four or five big prominent families that live up there, and they all go out there. Well, my family isn't blood relative to them, but being that we've been around so much, my dad managed to get himself invited, which he doesn't really care. But the guy out in Pennsylvania that owns the place that they go to, he's a trapper. My dad is a trapper. My dad loves to trap fox and coyote, raccoon, and gray fox, red fox. I mean, he just, that's what my old man's into, you know. And you got to be a pretty sneaky sign reader to be able to figure out where a coyote's going to put his foot in a 1.5-inch by 1.5-inch pan. But that's what he goes out there for. And I was talking with him, and I was like, oh, I said, man, you're getting in pretty tight with the old right gang, ain't you? And he says, I'm not one of them. I know my place. And then he goes, they always ask us if me and, I can't remember his friend's name out there, and if they can go with us trapping, then they say, no, you don't know what you're doing. You're going to screw everything up. You guys do what you do. We're going to go do what I do, or do what we do. Because the other guys go bow hunt deer. But with the point of all this, what I'm bringing about the foreigners, my old man, I mean, they're all Israel. They're all a bunch of stiff-necked Germans if I ever seen one, bunch of them. I've known them my whole life. You know, they're good dudes, but they're stiff-necked Germans. Rigid. I think Pastor Peters was a German. He was a rigid guy, too. But anyway, the point that my dad knew, that he knew his place. He was added into the fold for that thing. Now, they all have the camaraderie. They're all combat vets, and they all got the same experiences and the same feelings and this and that. But my old man's not part of the right gang. But they're all fruit farmers. I mean, they're good guys. I'm not down talking them at all. But he's not part of the right gang, and he knows it, and they know it, and they all know their place. I mean, there's like a whole group of them. They're outnumbered, and that's their date. That's the right gang's deal out there in Pennsylvania, and they allow my dad to go. And he knows his place. It's the same thing with a foreigner, as it should be when we're reading about this stuff. They should know their place. That's why I brought all that stuff up. They should know their place. When it comes to the whole scheme of things, know where you're supposed to be at. And be okay with it. That's my spiel on that. But for the most part, I maintain that most of the people that were entering the fold were uncircumcised, scattered Israelites, as it is prophesied in the Old Testament. Verse 19. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in the connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia, and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. Now, how it's used in this, who are they reaching out? The Benjaminites and Judah, and people from the tribe of Judah. That's who they were reaching to. That's who they were grabbing for. That's the way it's used in this term. Why would they do that? Because they were circumcised. Because they were the ones that didn't receive the writ of divorce. They're sheep. I don't know if you ever noticed, like, the thickness of a sheep's head and the skull between its eyes. I mean, dude, you are talking some thick skull. You get that through to your thick sheep brain. And sheep are stupid anyway. So they weren't getting the whole picture yet at this time. Now, these were the guys that were in connection with the killing of Stephen. So, I mean, they weren't dumb. I mean, they knew who Jesus was. But they weren't aware of the vision and what had taken place with Peter. Verse 12. And the hand of the Lord was with them. Verse 20, not 21. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, a large number of them who believed and turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them with all resolute heart to remain true to the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Taurus and looked for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch for an entire year, and they met with the church and taught considerable numbers of disciples who were first called Christians in Antioch. Remember there in Hosea? You will be called not my people. You will no longer be called my people, but you will be known what? Sons of the living God. You see in prophecy being fulfilled right there. Who is Hosea talking to? The 10 northern tribes. That's who Hosea was for. This is why you got to know your Bible. That way you just, you know, no matter what wind blows from whatever direction, that you're just going where the wind carries you. Like what Jesus said. You have to have the foundation on the rock, which is the Word. Now, at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place in the region of Claudius. And in proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And they did this, sending it in charge of Barnabas and to Saul, to the elders. And that is the complete chapter of chapter 11. We're going to get into chapter 12. Now at that time, Herod, the king laid hands on some of those who belong to the church in order to mistreat them. So what was going on here? Herod didn't like the politics that these Christians were preaching because it was a threat, and because he instinctively knew if people followed Jesus, the word, the law, and repented. See, all this stuff that we're reading, let me stop right there. All this stuff that we're talking about, repenting, the uncircumcised and this and that, the reason why they're uncircumcised because they're paying for the deeds of their forefathers and they're uncircumcised. But what are these people doing? They're repenting. They're changing their ways. They're turning their hearts back towards the great I am. You don't think Herod didn't know the law of God? You don't think the Jews didn't know the law of God? You don't think the Jews didn't know the word better than most Christians? When God's people start to follow God and be faithful to them, that forces the hand of God to take the authority and power and jurisdiction off of God's people and give God's people authority and power over them and their enemies. That's why Herod wants to mistreat him, because keep him scared. He wants to rule with brute force trauma. That's what he wants to do. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Now, this is the part I did study a little bit. I'm going to stop in verse 3 for this sermon, because we're going to divert. We're going to read verse 3. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So what do we have here in this context with this word Jews? It pleased them. It pleased, when Herod saw that it pleased these Jews, I don't understand why everybody, like, I just don't get the, I just don't get the flavor with these guys, because they really are just a bunch of, I'm not going to say what I thought, but I think, because it's not appropriate for church, but you really look at, like, the dealings of what the Jewish people have, like, in Hollywood and in politics, and what they're doing to the Palestinian people. I mean, what is so good for them about them? I mean, I know you can sit there and say, oh, you know, they got schwacked. There's 6 million of them got schwacked in World War II. Meanwhile, like, I forget what the number is. It seems like it was 234 million died as a result of World War II. Like, you're worried about the 6 million. What about the 228 other million? You know, I mean, it's just silly. It's just silly. You know, but these Jews, it pleased them that Herod, the Roman guy, was roughing them up. They thought that was just the best thing ever. And so he saw, he's like, ooh, good, I get to find favor with these cats. So I want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 10. And so the way it's used here in Acts 12, Jews, it is, I would assume it's of theology, Pharisee theology, Sadducee theology, Edomite influence. Now, could there be a Benjaminite or a man from the house of Judah that's in with these guys? Yeah, I mean, sheep are dumb. I mean, Paul was one of the baddest Pharisees in the land. But the way it's used here, like, I guess what I'm pointing at, the word Jew in the Bible isn't a racial term, as people, like, because that's in my mind. It took me until I was in my mid-20s to, like, literally get it out of my head that it wasn't a racial term. It wasn't a racial term. It's not a racial term. the way it's used in the New Testament, in the Gospels and Acts and throughout the New Testament, it's about what region of the earth you were born in. That's what it means. We have Americans that are black. We have Americans that are born here that are black. We have Americans that are born here that are white. We have Americans of every continent born here that are American. Are they the same race? No. And the way this word Jew is, it's the same thing. It's not about a race. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Begin by reading in verse 22. At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking into the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him, and they were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name testify of me." What's he saying? I uphold the word of my Father perfectly, and you do not believe. He's saying I'm prophesied about him. About, he said, the prophets prophesied about me. God promised me to Abraham and Adam and the law tells about me. I uphold the law. My works and the prophets tell you who I am. That's his response. I mean, I remember one guy told me, you know, them Jews back in the day, they knew the whole entire New Testament by heart, and they could utter it out on a command. If anybody should know, it'd be these clowns. Verse 26, but you do not believe me because you are not my sheep. What is he saying? Well, let's continue. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, if you take a modern-day Jew, do they know his voice? Do they hear him? Do they follow him? No, they work against him. They're the son of Satan, son of hell, son of Esau. They're the sons of Esau. So these guys were Jews. All heard him. He was very aggressive and antagonistic, but he heard him. These guys were standing right in front of him during Jesus' ministry. They could hear him and see him, but they did not believe him. And what did Jesus say? You are not my sheep. Another spot in John, Jesus says to him, he says, how does he say that? Yeah, I know you're the sons of Abraham, but you're of the father of your devil, of the devil. Well, what son of Abraham would that fall under? Esau. Those were Jews as well. I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. For my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones, again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? Is the question. And the Jews answered, for a good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because of you, being a man, make yourself out to be a god. Jesus answered him, it is not written in your law, I said to you, I said, you are God. It's a question. So basically, he just stuffed it in their face. So Jesus is saying, you can't snatch them out of my hand. I come to save them. And he's talking about them in this context in verse 27, 28, and 29. He's not talking about you guys, and what I mean by that, who he was talking to at that moment. So what is the point of reading this in John and all this talk? Well, what did Jesus say? You will know them by their fruit. What do we have to do as Christians? How do we know them by their fruit? How do we know which fruit we need to have? You can only know that by knowing the Word of God and letting Jesus Christ be your true one and king. Now, there are those that are just cursed and, well, this is what Jesus said. Peter said, they're the men of lawlessness. They can't be helped. They can't help. They're the seeds of Satan. They're men of instinct. They cannot be helped. But as for you and me and those out there that are listening, we know our word. We uphold it. We keep Jesus King. And with that, I'm out of time. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. And also, there's a CD that Pastor did years ago, and its title was The Most Confusing Word in the Bible. And it is Jew. And it was a message that Pastor Peters did years and years ago. But it has puts a lot of clarity on the sun. If you'd like that, you can write to us, and we'll offer that one. If you just request it, we'll send it to you free of charge. If you do want to put a donation in there, that's what keeps the lights on around here, and we do appreciate that. But it's a really good message, and I know that there were several times over the years that Pastor Peter's off, and it's a really good one. As we prepare our hearts and our minds for communion, I just wanted to start off by reading in Matthew 26, starting in verse 26. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for me for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, that this is very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same thing too. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, for you, and we thank you, Father, for the covenant, the blood covenant that you've given us. We thank you for forgiveness of our sins that comes through eating of your body and drinking of your blood. As we partake today, we pray, Father, that you do just that you forgive us of our sins, that you bless us of our infirmities, that you strengthen us, that it is a way of trimming our lamps, Father. We pray that you make that transformation in us and that we may shine brighter this next week because of you, because of our obedience. Do just as you have commanded us to do. To eat of your body and drink of your blood. Bless us, Father, as we do this. Bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may partake. And again, we're going to have Truth for the Times. It is already heard back from Tom, and he said he really enjoyed it, said play some more of those. So I guess that's the go. We're going to go ahead and these ready to go. Please let me know if you enjoy them. We do have them available on DVD. I also have them available on CD. And eventually I'm going to get them posted up on the resources page on our website with a direct link to them so you can watch them there. And in this Truth for the Times, titled None Ever Call It Conspiracy, Theaters offers this book several times. And we're offering that book free of charge. If you'd like this, write to us and request None Ever Call It Conspiracy by Pastor Peters, and we'll get that shipped out to you. Also, if you'd like this Truth for the Times on DVD, just on it as a standalone DVD, let me know. Write to me, shoot, and request that, and we'll get that sent out to you as well. We thank you for being here this October 19th, 2025. Stay tuned.
They said, oh no, I'll not deny my faith. Close your eyes, you'll hear them sing. The Lord is Jesus. Oh, and how I love that name. The tortured death or prison wait for me. Set me free. Though you take my life, you'll never, never take my liberty. Lead them marching to their deaths, their babies in their arms. As the lion's roar flames burn hot, they fear no earthly harm. Given one last chance, they said so humbly, oh King, I can't deny my Jesus. You see, he gave his all for me. Jesus there. As we're flirting with worldly ways, are we burdened?